You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Wisconsin is getting a lot of high-profile political visits in the run-up to Election Day, but do big-name appearances and endorsements from politicians or celebrities really make a difference? We'll tackle that question coming up. First, if you've been paying attention to the political fights over the Affordable Care Act, you've probably heard a lot about Medicaid expansions or plans sold on the individual exchange markets. But a majority of Americans get their insurance from their employers, and those plans are seeing changes too. The Kaiser Family Foundation recently released a new report detailing what's been happening with those employer-sponsored plans this year. Matthew Ray is a senior policy analyst at the Kaiser Family Foundation. Matthew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hello?
Matthew, are you there?
Sorry, the phone just cut out.
Okay, I'm hearing
I'm here
you,
now.
And you're hearing me. Great, wonderful. So these employer-sponsored healthcare plans, they don't get as much media attention sometimes in the political debate, but they're really important. Most Americans have their plans through their employer, right?
Absolutely. 150 million Americans get their health insurance through an employer.
And you've been doing this survey for two decades now. What have been the long-term trends for costs for employer-based healthcare?
Well, we've seen so much volatility in so many of the other health insurance markets. Things have been relatively consistent for employers over the last couple of years, at least. So we continue to see sort of slow but steady premium increases, which over time add up to big dollar amounts for employers. But in any given year, aren't these sort of sticker shock prices that we see in the for people buying insurance in the non-group market or buying health insurance on their own.
And who ends up paying for this? How much is it split between what the employers pay and what the employees pay?
No, it's a great question. There's a tremendous amount of variation. Some employers pay the entire premium. Other employers are asking employees to pay a tremendous amount of the premium. But on average, the employer and the employee are splitting the premium at a similar percentage over time. So on average, for single coverage, the employee pays about 18% of the premium in 2017, which is roughly similar to what it was years ago.
And you've been
but that 18% matters because the premiums they're worth a lot of money now. So the average premium for single coverage now is closing in on $7,000, and for a premium for a family of four is almost $20,000. $20,000 is a lot of money, no matter how you cut it.
And you've been tracking this, as I said, for a couple of decades now, and so you have a before and after the Affordable Care Act. They've been going up the whole time. Did anything change as far as the trends when the Affordable Care Act got passed?
Yeah, so the Affordable Care Act kind of was filling in a lot of the gaps around the employer system. So in some ways, the Affordable Care Act impacts what employers are doing. You know, large employers now have to offer health benefits, but almost all of them already were. There are some minor differences, like employees now have shorter waiting periods, or they are required to have a waiting period of less than 90 days before they can enroll in coverage. And out-of-pocket maximums, which is the most money that employees can spend out of pocket on health spending in a year, that's been capped. But these, I guess, are kind of the periphery issues to the system. In terms of cost and employer offer rates and who's eligible in coverage, we haven't seen a lot of changes over the last 10 years. Things have been remarkably consistent, although, you know, there are longer-term trends that kind of existed before and after the ACA. Employers still have to figure out ways to pay for what is an incredibly expensive benefit.
Matthew Ray is with us from the Kaiser Family Foundation talking about a new report on the costs of healthcare. We're focusing on employer-sponsored plans. They don't get always as much attention, but a lot of Americans get their health insurance through their employer. The report finds long-term costs are going up. They're being held by the employers and the employees. And Matthew, do we know what is driving the increase in these costs over the years?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a good news, bad news story, right? The good news is that we're seeing a relatively low premium increase. So this year, family premiums increased 5% from 2017, which, you know, is much less than the sort of premium increases we see for people buying coverage on their own or the premium increases we saw in the early 2000s. So in some ways, that's a good story. The bad news is that 5% still adds up over time to a lot of money. In terms of why we're seeing cost growth at the rate we are, is it's a balance. When employers get a premium increase, they have to make decisions over their plans, so they make changes to their plans to try to reduce cost. So we've seen things like increasing deductibles, which has the effect of decreasing the premium and that the employer has to pay for the coverage. But ultimately, like, premiums are driven by one of two things, right? How many services are covered and how much those services cost. So increases in premiums are because the actual cost of delivering care is really expensive in lots of parts of the United States.
And that's been a criticism of the Affordable Care Act, that it's covered who covers healthcare, who pays for the insurance, but didn't always tackle those underlying cost increases. Do we know what is making annual cost of healthcare go up, and I think go up faster than the rate of inflation?
Yeah, absolutely, faster than the rate of inflation over time. Well, a lot of it's market by market, right? So hospitals and providers will negotiate with insurers and set prices. And that's the prices that the employer will end up paying. So when those prices go up over time, then employers and employees end up paying more through premiums.
And do we know, those bigger employers in particular, they, as these costs go up, they don't necessarily have the option of just dropping healthcare altogether. Is that right?
Well, they can. Under the Affordable Care Act, they'd have to pay a penalty for that. Most large employers offered health benefits before the Affordable Care Act. Some 90% of workers are at a firm that offers health benefits. Firms offer health benefits because they want to recruit and retain the best employees, and that's still something employees think of when they're shopping for a new job. Especially now when labor markets are tighter, there's no reason to expect that employers are, especially large employers, are leaving the space. We continue to expect employers to offer coverage.
Now, there have been attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act in Congress. That fell short. There's a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality, I should say, of the Affordable Care Act. Given what you said earlier, would the end of the Affordable Care Act affect the employer-provided healthcare market all that much?
It's a healthcare system, right? So changing things anywhere will impact things everywhere else. But ultimately, like, employers continue to offer coverage because their employees expect it. So thinking of changes in the healthcare system, like policy, will continue to affect what employers are doing, but not at the core of it.
And I've been asking you kind of about national numbers and national trends. Does it break down differently depending on where you are in the country when it comes to the rising costs of employer-provided healthcare?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Costs vary tremendously across the United States.
And are there...
And even within markets, there's tremendous variation in what workers are paying in terms of deductibles or in terms of what they're contributing towards the premium.
Now, looking at the last 20 years overall, has there been, and you were touching on this earlier, how much has the annual rate of increase changed? Are we seeing, I'm putting this in a weird way, are we seeing decreases in the annual increases?
I know exactly what you mean. Yes, the rate of growth has been slower over the last 5 years than it was 15 years ago. So premiums are growing slower than they were earlier in the 2000s, but they are still growing faster than what workers' wages and inflation are.
And is that...
Which ultimately means that premiums are continuing eating. If we think that employers substitute health benefits for wages, then the interpretation would be that premiums continue to eat into workers' wages.
Well, that's interesting. So I don't know if you dug into this, and particularly in your report, are you seeing... These costs of healthcare eating into salary. So great, good news. My costs of health insurance didn't come up if I'm an employee, but I didn't get that raise I might have gotten otherwise.
Yeah, so employers will make that an individual decision, obviously. But the health insurance still costs a lot of money for employers, so I think they take that into consideration when they're compensating workers.
And what kind of trends are you watching for now as we look ahead? Again, some uncertainty in the healthcare marketplace. What kind of things are you watching for now as we go from 2018 into 2019?
So a couple things. I still think that what employees have to pay through cost sharing remains really important. So most workers will face a deductible or a copay or coinsurance before they can use most healthcare services, especially deductibles, We've seen those go up rapidly over time, much outpacing inflation. So that puts additional healthcare costs into people who use services. So if that trend continues, that has meaningful impacts for people who get sick, the sickest workers. I think employers continue to think about how to deliver care in terms of networks and what providers are in their networks and how they can deliver care in more efficient or more cost-effective ways. So thinking over that going forward will be interesting. And I think employers continue to do interesting things with their wellness programs. So many employers now have meaningful financial incentives to encourage you to do health examinations or participate in various wellness programs.
We'll leave it there for now. Matthew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great. Thank you.
That was Matthew Ray of the Kaiser Family Foundation. He was with us to talk about the group's new research on employer-sponsored health plans, which shows rising costs for premiums and deductibles, costs going up for employers and employees.